For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 26th, 1993. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for the anointing, amen. All of this not on here, Gene. It's the anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. The anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. The anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. Okay, let me give you the words. It's the truth, isn't it? We don't have to pray it down or push it up. Either you have it, either you is or you ain't. The anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. We've got to realize that we have the power within us to live in victory. Sometimes we need a little help. That's why we're here. But we have the power within us to live in victory. Giving me the power to live in victory, the anointing abideth in me. The anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. The anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in, sing it now, oh, the anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. Declare it now. The anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. For the anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. Now maybe some of you don't feel like it. That's beside the point. You don't go by your feelings. The truth is, the Word of God is nigh thee, even in your mouth. We want to sing this afternoon and get into your spirit and declare it. Listen, principalities and powers, the anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. And I want you to sing this afternoon. I don't care how you feel. You maybe feel the farthest from singing this, but you need to sing it and declare it to principalities and powers. the anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me, for the anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. One more time. The anointing of the Spirit abideth in me, filling my soul, setting me free, giving me the power to live in victory. The anointing abideth in me. I've got a new song for a new day. We're praising Jesus in a new way, for His love is growing sweeter as the days go by. We've got a new song and we'll bring it. We want to teach the world to sing it. It's a new song, it's a true song, it's a song that will never die. Oh, we've got a new song for a new day. We're praising Jesus in a new way, for His love is growing sweeter as the days go by. We've got a new song and we'll bring it. We want to teach the world to sing it. It's a new song, it's a true song, it's a song that will never die. You know, it's a song of deliverance. It's a song of victory. It's a song of faith. It's a song of gladness. It's a song of determination. Like I said this morning, faith sings in prison before the release comes. Maybe you're in prison this afternoon. Start singing. God's answer to the barren land in Isaiah was, sing, O barren land. That was God's reply. Sing, barren land. And Isaiah 35 and 1 says, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. It didn't say blossom, then rejoice. Anyone can sing when the sun's shining bright. But you can have a song in your heart in the night. Rejoice!
Now, Robert, don't go away for a minute. You may be seated. Tomorrow evening, Robert is going to minister as well as sing. And I want him to pick up that box there and talk about it for a minute.
Praise the Lord. I believe in household salvation. Exodus 12 and 3 teaches us we can be a lamb for our house. And as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, I've preached on it here. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, faith is preemptive. Warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Do you know why you're here this weekend? You're unconsciously, maybe consciously, but unconsciously you're here because you're building for the saving of your family. You're making a way. You're making arrangements. The word build is a Greek word, kataskuadzo. It means to make preparations or to prepare, make arrangements. We're building this afternoon. We're building this weekend. And the Holy Spirit showed me a couple of years ago that we've had blessing boxes, we've had building boxes, and that's great. But this is a birthing box. Why a birthing box? When Zion travails, she brings forth. How many know just we don't travail for nothing? When we travail, we bring forth. And we've had names in here that have come out of here and in other churches I've been at. And I'll tell you, listen, get the names of your unsaved family members. Just the first names, because God knows them. But I want you to activate a step of faith. Write their names down. Peter, Paul, Mary, Francis, Joseph, Tony. Put them in here. And I'll tell you something, you've got people here that pray. You've got intercessors here that pray. The Bible says the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman, as we in these days that we're living in, availeth much. So So listen, do it. First, believe it possible. Secondly, prepare for it. You do what you can do. And thirdly, receive it. Amen.
Dr. Noel is going to carry on this afternoon, teach, while he's getting a little help there. Somebody's found an earring. You can see it's a circle. And I was very happy to notice that it wasn't for a pierced ear. I will let you read what the Bible says about that back in one of those little booklets I've written. Or if you want to know some more about it, you can come and ask me and I'll give you all the scriptures.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Just come, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, touch us now, Lord. Open our eyes that we might see, Lord, and our ears that we might hear, Lord, that we might behold you in your glory, Lord God. And see you as our deliverer, Lord God, our healer and our deliverer, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and bless you in the name of Jesus. You know, I want to talk to you today about a real simple subject, how demons get in. How do you come to have evil spirits? What is the mechanism by these things that they can attach themselves to you and torment you? You know, God made you a creature of free will. He made you an absolute creature of free will. In Joshua 25, I think, chapter 24, verse 14, and he says, Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether it will be the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There, God gives you a choice. He lets you serve who you please. But know that him who you serve will hold you in bondage. If you don't serve the Lord, if you serve someone else, he will hold you in bondage. Romans 6:16 says, that which... let's turn to that. Romans 6:16 says, "Don't you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you are slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And let's look at John 8:34, the words of Jesus. All right, let's look at 8:34, John, and he says, "Jesus answered them and says, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And so if you choose to serve sin, you choose to serve something other than our Lord Jesus Christ, then you will become its slave, and its name is sin. There are two forces. You're going to serve somebody in this world. You're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to serve the other fellow. And the other fellow will make a slave out of you, and he will draw you into bondage, and he will make a slave. Now, Paul said he was a bondservant, a slave, but he was a love slave. But the devil will not allow you to be a love slave. He puts you into bondage, and he will hold you with bitter bondage. Now, how do demons get into you? Well, they enter in through sin. If you decide to serve sin, demonic forces have a legal right to harass you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:14. There Paul says, "Flee from idolatry. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." An idol is anything that you serve that comes between you and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anything that you pray, that you put in preference to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you please anything that you worship other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you worship your job. You put your faith in your job. You depend on your job to supply your needs. You think that your job is your source. You think your education is your source. You think your skills that you have honed and developed, you think that's your source of your support. Then they can become your idol. And it can put you in bondage. Anything. Jesus, the devil showed, took Jesus up on the high mountain. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all these will be yours if you will just fall down and worship me. And Jesus answered, he didn't say you don't have the authority to give that away. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God. Said, it is written, you shall worship your Lord your God, and him only will you serve. Now, if you worship something, you will serve it. You worship something, you will serve it. So Paul says, flee idolatry. He tells you to flee idolatry. He tells you to flee sexual immorality, porneo. And in case you're interested, porneo is the word. Whenever you see fornication in the New Testament, it generally is translating a word porneo. Now, there are five, it has four different roots, but they're generally two, porneo and porneo. There's a subtle difference in the words. But it is the root word from which we get pornography.
Yes.
And if you want to know what it means, just think of pornography, from the Playboy pictures all the way down to the grossest, most offensive thing you can think of. And that is what porneo covers. It also means idolatry. Because you have to understand that sexual immorality is an act of worship to Satan. Why do you think most pagan religions are based on sexual immorality? Why do you think every time the satanic coven meets, it ends with the act of intercourse on the altar? Why? Because that is an act of worship to Satan. Sexual intercourse outside of marriage is an act of worship to Satan. You're idolizing Satan. You're putting yourself under the curse of idolatry and the curse of sexual fornication. And you're doing all sorts of things that we might talk about later, but we won't talk about today. I could get off on that and talk for an hour. But idolatry. So demons come in through idolatry. You flee idolatry. You flee porneo. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:18. Let's start with 16. Or don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside the body is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Now, you use there, both words for porneo are used there. Both one indicating a spirit of idolatry and one indicating any type of sexual sin and idolatry. Now, both of these words these are two very interesting words, and if you look them up in Strong's, they're both translated as sexual immorality and idolatry. If you look them up in Kittle, which is the large 10-volume text of the Greek language, they have some refined differences, but they are anything, any type of unnatural sex. Any type of unnatural sex is covered here. Any type of sex out of marriage, or any type of unnatural sex, and it's all called idolatry. The homosexuality is covered there. Oral genital sex is covered there. Pornography is covered there. Lusting after people is covered there. All of this is then it's translated fornication. in the King James and the New King James, it says sexual immorality. But sexual immorality will bring a curse on you and will allow all sorts of things to happen to you in the spirit world. Whenever you have, you see here, you are joined, you become one flesh with that person. And that forms an ungodly tie, soul tie, that will plague you and will draw you back into the relationship. Will draw you back into the relationship, will keep you under condemnation, keep you feeling that you can never be forgiven, never get over it, that you're always dirty and unclean. If you had sex with your mate before marriage, you can form an ungodly soul tie. And it will stand in between you so that you never can come together. If you've done this, you need to confess the sin to God and break the ungodly soul tie. Break the ungodly soul tie. I can go through Proverbs and show you. A careful reading of Proverbs will show you that there's a transposition, there's an exchange of soul material during sexual intercourse. Just like there's an exchange of soul material in witchcraft. If you've ever been hypnotized, for instance, you form soul ties. If you've ever been to a counselor and become, quote, dependent on the counselor, that is a soul tie. So you can't even remember, you can't even decide what dress to put on in the morning or what shirt to put on without calling your counselor and asking him. That's the technical word for that in medicine is dependence, but it's a soul tie. And the soul ties have to be broken. And they are demonic in nature. I'll always remember when I was going over soul ties with a man that had come into, had gotten saved and come into the church and gone through deliverance. And I was teaching on this, and he said, Doc, is that the reason whenever my hidey days, whenever I went into the bar, I could just look around and I always knew which women was on the make and which ones I could score with? That's right. Because that harlot spirit in you would hook up with that, would form this tie with that harlot spirit in that woman. And you could tell which ones that were on the make. And he said, he could, you know, walk in, he knew that there were three girls over there that were on the make. And this is a result of carrying familiar spirits that come in during sexual immorality. And so first, your idolatry, sexual immorality. And the third thing is walking in the flesh. Now this is a tough one. Let's look at Romans 14:23. Stay with me on this now. In Romans 23, the last part of the verse, read the whole verse so. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever, when you're walking in the flesh and you're not moving from faith in God, whatever you do is sin. That's what the Bible says there. Unless we've already read Romans 6:16. We won't go back to that. And we read John 8:3. Let's look at 2 Peter 2:19. And here, Peter is talking about false prophets. They promise them liberty. The false prophets promise the people liberty. But they, the false prophets, themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought into bondage. So if you walk in the flesh, you will be overcome by it, and you will be gradually brought into bondage and opened up to demonic spirits. That's what that's saying. Let's look at James 3:14. We'll start with, we'll read actually 3:14 and 3:15. And here James is speaking. He says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast a lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, soulish, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. So if you walk in the flesh and you envy people and you got selfish ambition in your hearts, looking out for me and mine, that doesn't come from above. God doesn't do that. That's earthly, soulish, and demonic. It opens you up. When you get selfish and self-centered, It says confusion and every evil thing will be there. That's walking in the flesh. And it opens you up to demonic forces. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:3. Here Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthian church. And someone has come and told him that they have strife in the church and they are arguing. They have bitter discontent. And he writes them and he says, verse 3, but you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? The carnality is walking in the flesh, having strife. Let's look at Galatians 5:19 now. These are the works of the flesh. And, you know, I read these, and I think it came as a shock to me once, when I was just sort of percruising through the works of the flesh, that these are all names of demons. Adultery, but the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication or sexual immorality, porneo, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Y'all know what lasciviousness is? That's what a child has to demonstrate on a photograph for it to be pornography, according to Janet Reno. She has to be completely naked and acting in a lasciviousness manner. Did y'all know that? That she had changed the interpretation of the child pornography laws on the books for 10 years. But she has changed the interpretation and now the child must be acting in a lasciviousness manner before the federal government will prosecute this as child pornography, and which will open up the bookstores to sell all this filth again. How wonderful. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord God. Thank you. Bless them. Bless them. Lasciviousness means sin. I mean, lasciviousness means that I don't know how to do it. Well, I'll do it with you and I'll show you how. It's I don't know how, but we'll learn. It is sin from every angle. To be lasciviousness means to be sinful from every angle you can think of. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelness, and the like. I told you before, and I told you in past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, now, these are the works of the flesh. And if you cater to these, you will open yourself up to demonic influence. If you walk in the flesh, you will open yourself up to demonic influence. Demons are there. You know, a man once told me that I was a demon chaser, and I saw demons behind every bush and every under rock. Well, when I got 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I was at this Bible camp, and I came because I had a lot of problems I couldn't handle. And on the third row, fourth seat over, I got delivered one day. And I came up, and Brother Glenn laid hands on me, and they said anybody who wanted the gift of discernment of spirits would come up, and Brother Glenn laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I didn't think anything happened. And I was driving home. And I was riding home, and I was listening to this tape, this music tape, and on it was a prophecy. And it hit me. I said, that's the voice of God speaking. I mean, that's God. And then I began to look. And man, there wasn't two behind. There wasn't one behind. There's three or four behind every bush and under every rock. I never seen. I just looked like this, you know. And I thought I was going crazy. And I walked around like that for 2 months. 2 months. Because I said I wasn't going to be no demon chaser. I wasn't going to do that. And, you know, I have a respectable position in the community. Folks laughing at me. And after about 2 months, I was praying, and I went over to our prayer group, you know, and I fell on my face, and I said, you know, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, because I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was going crazy. And I said, I don't know what's happening, Lord, but I'll do what you want me to. I said, Lord, what's happening to me? I said, am I going crazy? And one of the men, and I just fell on my face and began to pray. And as everybody else came in, they just got down and began to pray too. So what's going on? So no, Bill just came in and fell down and began to pray. And so we all praying with him. And then one of them got up and began to prophesy. And he said, I have given you a gift and I expect you to use it. I put a call on your life and I've given you a gift and I expect you to use it. Does that mean anything to anybody? I said, yeah, that means something to somebody. And so I said, Lord, I will go where you say go and I will do what you say do. And I don't care what happens.
Thank you.
I don't care what happens. He took me up on it. But it stopped. Now he opens my eyes. When I need to know something, he'll open my eyes and let me see. I don't walk around with this motion picture anymore of all the things. But there are a lot of them out there, people, I can tell you.
Yes,
the reason for my telling you this is there's a lot of them out there. There's two behind every bush, and I mean, and some of them are concentrated in other places, you know. And if you see a real spirit-filled Christian walking down the road, walking down the street, there'll be 50 just buzzing around him, looking for a place, trying to see where they can get in. And it's like he's got a, you know, they'll be about this far out, just buzzing around, just trying, looking for a hole in the hedge to get through. Looking for a kink in your armor. Whispering in your ear. They can whisper in your ear. They can whisper in your ear. They can't read your mind, though. They don't know what you're thinking. A lot of people have challenged me on that. They don't know what you're thinking. I mean, y'all believe the devil can read your mind. Anybody in here think the devil can read your mind? Scripture says he can't. I won't go to the scripture. I will just tell you the story. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the story of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a great vision. Had a vision. And it troubled him. It was a vision of a great statue with a golden head and a silver chest and bronze leg, bronze and midriff and iron legs and so forth. But he had this vision and he didn't know what it meant. And so he called all his wise men and said, I've had this vision, this dream. I want y'all to tell me what the dream is and what it means. And he said, oh, king, we can't do that. You're going to tell us what the dream was and we'll tell you what it means. He said, no. If you don't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill every one of you. And going to give you 48 hours to come up with it. And they said, king, no. There is no magic man, no astrologer, no shaman can tell you. They can't do that, king. It's just too hard. So they went and they got Daniel. And Daniel said, what's going on? And he told him, he said, well, tell the king to give me 24 hours. There's a God in heaven that will tell me what he dreamed. And so God told him, and he went to the king and he told the king. And the king said, you have the spirit of the God, of the Holy God in you. And nobody's going to say anything about your God. And he made him chief of all the magic men and all the astrologers. But if the demons had been able to read the king's mind, they'd have told the king his dream. And remember, Babylon was our height of witchcraft. Gosh, I'm getting behind. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so you all agree with me that if you walk in the flesh, you open yourselves to demonic influences. So we have idolatry, sexual immorality, and walking in the flesh. Now, a fourth one, open your Bibles to 2 John, verse 10. Now, this is one that I came to was pointed out to me, and I just felt rather silly that I hadn't seen it before. But brother up in Omaha pointed this out to me. Look at verse 10 and 11. If anyone, from 2 John, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus, do not receive him into your house or greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. If someone comes to you with a false doctrine, a false ministry, and you wish him Godspeed, the old King James says you greet him and you wish him Godspeed. You give him money. Be careful who you support, folks. It'll bring a curse on you. It'll open you to demonic forces. It says right here, you share in the evil deed. That means that you will open yourself up to a curse and demonic harassment if you give to a false ministry. Pray before you give money to ministries. Pray before you give money to people that support ungodly things, like the YWCA that supports abortion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they openly support abortion. Lots of those things. But ungodly ministries don't deserve God's money. And he brings a curse on you. Okay, so first is sin. Second are childhood experiences. I apologize for my art there, but I am not the... Can everybody see that? That better? Okay. You see, I'll tell you a story. When I was a little kid, 3 years old, I remember it like it was yesterday, or 4, I was watching a big butterfly. It doesn't relate to this at all. I was watching a big butterfly come down. It was a big yellow butterfly, and it lit on the side of a clapboard house. And I guess I was this far watching it, and this big black hairy spider jumped out of our crack in the house and grabbed that butterfly and wound him up in web and pulled him in. And it absolutely terrified me. I screamed for, I guess I screamed a long time. My parents came out and they tried to comfort me. But I had a spirit of fear that came into me. I was afraid of spiders. I was afraid of high places. I was afraid of the dark, but scared to death of spiders. I would walk a half a block if I saw a spider. And they still make me sort of cringe. I still don't like them. I don't panic anymore. But that spirit. Now, rejection is something that we all experience. And rejection is a loss of love. It's perceived as a loss of love. And that means because you aren't loved, you're fearful. You develop fear. And that means if you're fearful, you're inferiority. And these things come in and you get hurt. It hurts to be rejected. And sometimes deep hurt comes in. And you get to feel sorry for yourself. And that is and you have a pity party. And when you get a pity party, you get bitter. They've done me dirty. Now, the same word for bitter is also in Hebrew is a word for rebellion. They come from the same root, mara. If you get bitter, you will get rebellious. Now, you can see that rebellion can come over here to pride, stubbornness, unteachable, and you get somebody who's got the nose up in the air and stubborn, and you can't tell them anything, I go away. So you reject them, and so they go back to rejection, and it starts back over again. Or they can come up here and they can get violent, angry. Bitter, rebellious people sometimes get very angry. Anger, rage, and murder can come in. These violent spirits. And that brings division, particularly within families. That brings in division, which leads to rejection again. And it comes down, or rejection or rebellion can lead into bondage. By George, I started smoking out of rebellion. How many of y'all ever started smoking out of rebellion? By George, you just going to show them? Well, when I see teenagers that are smoking out of rebellion, the chances are 85% they're smoking cigarettes, they're also smoking marijuana. And there's a 50% chance that they're doing alcohol and other drugs. Yeah. Now, those are published statistics. But it comes out of rebellion. And that leads to bondage. The name of alcoholism is bondage. He holds you in bondage. The poet said, iron bars and stone walls do not a prison make. He makes the prison and holds you in jail and breaks your spirit and gives you heaviness and tries to bring in suicide. And that is the devil's ultimate goal for you, is to kill you as slowly and as miserably as possible. Make you suffer just as much. You know why? Why does the devil hate you so bad? You know, he hates you. Woo, he hates you. You see, he rebelled against God. And he can't beat God. He can't touch God. But he can touch God's image. Derek Prince tells the story of the young lady who was going to marry the soldier, and the soldier went off, and she wrote back every day and had a nice picture on his dresser there. And one day she got a Dear John letter from the soldier. He'd found somebody else in some other port and wrote and said, I'm sorry, I'm not coming home, I'm not going to marry you. And she got so angry, she went home and she took his picture and threw it on the floor and stomped on it. Couldn't touch him, but she got his image. She stomped his image. Well, that's what the devil does with wants to do with you. He can't touch God. He can't hurt God. The only way he can hurt God is through the image that God loves. That's you. God loves every one of you. He loves you enough to die for you. That's how much he loves you. While you were yet sinners, he died for you. So great is his love for you. The devil knows that. And so every time he can get you and your wife to fighting and bitterness and yelling and screaming at each other and calling each other names, he can get you drunk, staggering down the street and vomiting. He can say, "See, God, what's your image doing now? See? And he stands there before him accusing you. His desire is to kill you. This is one of the ways he does it. He also brings in infirmity spirits. Infirmity comes in here and here. But that I just want you to see that that's a circle. It goes around and around and around and deeper into your soul. And those demons get layered in there. You got more than one. You got more than one rejection spirit. You got a chief one, but you got more spirits just layered in there. Great systems of them. You got the gang. The good thing is that greater is he that is in you than he who's in the world. Hammond's book, Pigs on the Paula, has an excellent discussion of this. Because, and this is the way, if this goes on long enough, you become schizophrenic. This is the root cause of schizophrenia. And it is very difficult to treat a schizophrenic because they've got so many layers of this. And you have to stand and stand and stand against this. And it keeps cropping up. And you have to stand, takes 3 or 4 years of people loving them and standing by them. And the people have got to want to change. The only problem is that they use these spirits to manipulate people around them. And lots of them, they use these spirits to manipulate. And to change is difficult. To change is scary. Lots of them don't want to change. That's sad, but it's true. All you can do is love them, keep praying for them, keep binding them, and keep standing. And it takes several years. It's not a one. Deliverance, Gwen Worley says, deliverance is the first step of a long journey. So, childhood experiences, rejection, molestation, abuse, all those things bring demons in. Being molested, great numbers of homosexuals were molested as children, and the homosexual spirits came in then. Great numbers of people who have sexual problems, all types of other sexual problems, were molested when they were children. And these spirits came in. And so childhood experiences. And the third thing I want to talk about is sins of the fathers. And they say, you mean that my father's sins, that what my father did affects me. That's right. What your father did affects you. Not only your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and your great-great-grandfather. In the cases of incest and illegitimacy, it goes back at least 10 generations. Look at Exodus 34:6 now. And here we have Moses getting ready to go back up on the mount with another set of stones for God to rewrite the Ten Commandments. And in verse 5, then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there before him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now in Hebrew, if you proclaim the name, you proclaim the nature. And the Lord proclaim the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. That word, by no means clearing the guilty, if you have a New International or a New American Standard, it says by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. Now, that's just one verse. You want some more? Exodus 20:4-6, Numbers 14-18, Jeremiah 32:18, Isaiah 65:7, Amos 4:2. Those are all references that will tell you the same thing, that God visits the iniquity of the fathers. Now, we won't go through all of those. I'll ask you to, if you're interested and you want to look them up, it's good. It's always good to look up things. but we will move ahead. There's a cure. If your parents or your ancestors were in incest, and that curse goes down through 10 generations, and the thing always keeps trying to replicate itself, so it just passes down through the family line. If you have a bastard in the family, back in your family line. You know, 10 generations is 1,028 people. That's how many ancestors goes back from you for 10. If you count back 10 generations, 2 to the 10th power is 1,028, I think. That's a lot of folks. You know what your blood kin was doing 400 years ago? Anybody? Got any idea what their blood kin was doing 100 years ago? No. And if they were in incest, they were in, had illegitimacy, they were into sexual fornication, they were into the Masons, they were into idolatry, into secret societies, if they were witches, they're reading the horoscopes, if they were reading tea leaves, if they were doing any type of divination, it cursed you. Now, the good news is that Jesus died for you and was made a curse by being hung on the cross, that you might be relieved from the curse of the law. He took your curse, but you have to claim it. Just like He died for you that you might be saved. Now, lots of people will tell you that all the curses were broken when you got saved. Let's look at Isaiah 53. If we look at Isaiah 53:4, it says, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem Him smitten by God and afflicted. For He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Now that is that in 1 Peter. It's quoted, and it says, "You were healed." It is an accomplished fact. You were healed by the exchange on the cross. But I see sick Christians walking around. They're saved. Why? Well, you can say that they got to claim it. Sometimes they claim it and there are other things involved. But your curses are the same way. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says that though He was rich, yet He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich. I won't quote all the exchanges made. Let's look at Galatians 3:13 so you can see that about the curses. I just want you to know that the curses are not automatically broken, that you've got to break them. If you look at Revelation 22, it says that's when there won't be any more curse, when you get to the holy city. And I'm not trying to cover all the curses, just the ones that come from the sins of the fathers. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it's written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of the Gentiles, blessings of Abraham, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took our curse. All you got to do is claim it. Now, coming along with the sins of the fathers are familiar spirits. And I will try in 5 minutes to reduce an hour's lecture on familiar spirits. Familiar spirits, you all remember in 1 Samuel 28:7, Saul said, Samuel was dead. Saul, God wasn't answering Saul. And so he went to his men. There was a big battle coming up with the Philistines. God wasn't answering his prayers. The heavens were bronze. The prophet was gone. He didn't know what to do. He had this big battle coming up. And she said, "Find me somebody who's got a familiar spirit." So they found him a Midian, a witch at Eldor. What in the world is a familiar spirit? Anybody who had a familiar spirit in the Old Testament was stoned. Now, a familiar spirit is a spirit
that you're familiar with through which supernatural power is manifested. Now, all of you have a familiar spirit. All of you familiar with the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Huh? All of you know who He is. All of you familiar, and you know that He will manifest supernaturally around you and manifest supernaturally when you have a need. That's the reason the term's not used in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, the Spirit was poured out on everyone. In the Old Testament, God's Spirit was only poured out on the prophets, on certain people. Nobody else had it. But if they had some sort of spirit that wasn't the Holy Spirit that God hadn't poured out on them, it was called a familiar spirit. Today, we all have the Holy Spirit. But there is a, for every gift, there is a satanic counterfeit. And you would be well to test these very carefully. But there are people who have familiar spirits. I've seen people get up and prophesy in church with a familiar spirit. I've seen them give words of knowledge with a familiar spirit. I've seen healings done with a familiar spirit. Have you ever seen a wart charmer? Charm a wart off of somebody? We had the old herb lady. When I practiced medicine in the Appalachian Mountains, we had the herb lady up in the cave. And she had all kind of poultices and stuff, but she also, she divined things. She'd tell you things. She was a witch. She had a familiar spirit. Okay. Now, familiar spirits can run in family lines. Any personality trait, emotional makeup, or supernatural ability can be a familiar spirit that's assigned to your family line. One that's familiar with your family. My great-great-great-grandfather was an Indian shaman. I was the chosen one. I had precognition. And when I got delivered from these, I went to a prayer meeting one night. And I didn't know much about the Indian heritage because my father would never allow my mother to talk about it. I went to this meeting, and Brother Joe Williams was there. And Brother Williams picked me out. Mac McCoy called me and told me I was supposed to be there, that God had shown him I was supposed to be there. And I really didn't like Mac. Mac really bothered me. He was the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen Association chapter. And he's a creepy little old man. He just sort of bothered me. Something about him made my skin crawl. I didn't know what it was. You know, he had something that just bothered me. Well, what I realized later was the Holy Spirit was bothering my demons. Because after I got delivered, he didn't bother me anymore. But I was sitting in the chair there, and Brother Joe looked at me, and he said, "You were sold to the devil before you were born." He said, "Your great-great-great-grandfather was a Choctaw shaman, and he made a deal with the devil for his power and sold your soul to the devil." Said, "You want to be free?" "Yeah." And so I stood up, and Brother Joe just stretched out his hand and spoke to me, and I looked up, and I looked right up in this blinding light. And I don't know what happened. People around me told me all sorts of things happened. But I know that the nurses at the hospital told me it was the day my personality changed. I lost my anger and my rage, and I lost a lot of really not very nice things. And I also lost my precognition. I still have lots of problems, and Joe sent me down here. But that had passed through my family line. The supernatural ability. Character bondage. Alcoholism runs in families. You know that?
Amen.
Cigarette smoking runs in families. Yeah, that's bondage. High blood pressure, strokes, and heart attacks run in families. Cancer runs in families. You know, cancer's a demon.
Yep. Amen.
Poverty runs in families. Stubbornness runs in families. Diabetes runs in families. Stinginess. Spendthrift, greed, violent temper, rage, insanity, all these things are familiar spirits. They are spirits that are familiar with your family, that are passed down through your family line, but through curses on your line. And the devil has assigned them to your family. The good thing is that we can break those today and command them to leave.
And we can break them off of your family and your children's children forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. Unless they fall away. Unless they fall away. And the devil can come back on them. He's always there. Remember the spirit-filled Christian walking down the street with the demons just buzzing around, waiting for him to slip so they can jump in. I personally believe that they can't jump in right then. They got to wait 24 hours because the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not, and give not place to the devil. The spiritual world works on a 24-hour basis, and it starts at sunset. The Hebrew day started at sunset. It went from sunset to sunset. It was the night and day. And I think that that's the reason it is very important that if you slip up, if you sin, that you get out on your knees and repent immediately. You sure don't let the sun go down on your anger because the enemy is waiting on you in the darkness. Remember, he is in the darkness. He is in the darkness. And so he is of the darkness. Praise you, Lord. I think we better all stand up now and praise him. It's said that the brain can only absorb, but the fanny can endure. Everybody stand up and let's just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you have never been in a mass deliverance service before? Okay. Let's all sit down now. I'm going to lead you through a general renunciation prayer. That's rather long and complicated. I want you to repeat it after me. If you have any unforgiveness in your heart against anyone, you need to forgive them. Unforgiveness will block deliverance. We're going to break all the curses, but the one thing that you must do is forgive. The Bible says, forgive as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Or if you do not forgive your neighbor, neither will God forgive you. I can show you that three places in the Bible. And if you do not forgive, God will turn you over to the tormentors. That's in Matthew 18. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I just encourage you that if you have anything in your heart against anyone, forgive them. Say, Lord, I forgive them. It is a decision that you make. It's an act of your will. It's a decision that you make. And ask God for the grace to bring it to pass, to put it in your heart. You do it up here, ask God to put it down here. And say, Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, I do make the following confession. I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word. Whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, curiosity, and I now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I have opened to Satan. And I ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things. And cleanse me in body, soul, spirit, in Jesus' name. I renounce the occult, witchcraft, magic, seances, clairvoyance, mediums, contact with familiar spirits, Ouija boards, all other occult games, all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading,
Crystal ball. Tarot. Tarot. Pendulum. Card laying. All astrology. Interest in horoscopes and signs of the zodiac. The heresy of reincarnation. And all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, and parapsychology. I renounce water witching, dowsing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometric, automatic writing. I renounce astral projection. Soul travel. Thought projection. And other demonic skills. Renounce all mind control. Power of positive thinking. Positive control salesmanship. And demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery, dependence on talisman, such as St. Christopher's medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit's foots, four-leaf clovers, wishbones, potions, and amulets. And I vow, I will destroy any that are on my person or under my control. I vow I will destroy all foreign idols, foreign gods, such as Buddhas, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, Egyptian ankara, pentagrams, or other abominations on my person, under my control. I renounce all literature that I have ever read in any of these fields, and vow I will destroy such books in my possession. I will also destroy any objects, pictures, signs, statutes, jewelry, or charts of these things which are on my person or in my house. In the name of Jesus, I break the following. Break all curses, all hexes, all spells, all jinxes, all jexes, all charms, all roots, all effigies placed on me from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy and incest 10 generations back off my family line. I break the curse of idolatry over my family line. I renounce any oaths made by my ancestors to any false club or any lodge or brotherhood. In the name of Jesus, I break all demonic subjugation, demonic soul ties or bondages to my mother and father, grandfather, spouse, ex-spouse, or any other human being, living or dead, who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity or demonic hold on my family line. I break all curses of mental or physical illness. I break any curse on me, on my family, from occult or demonic origin, and command
It returned to the sender.
It returned to the sender.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, I renounce.
Lord, I renounce.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every cult.
That
denies the blood atonement.
Of Jesus Christ.
Every philosophy
that
denies the deity
of Jesus Christ.
Dear Lord,
dear Lord,
I confess
that I've
committed sexual sins.
I do repent
and ask forgiveness.
I confess
I've committed the following.
Here
quietly, I want you to quietly under your breath. Your head bowed, every head bowed, I want you to quietly confess your sexual sins. It's very quiet, but you need to say them, but you can do it under your breath, very quietly, and claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. To forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do now accept your forgiveness and cleansing according to your word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I notify you. I'm reclaiming all areas that I have previously yielded to you. I now close all these doors.
Forever.
Specifically,
I claim freedom
from sexual sin and lust.
I bind you and your host.
Command you to leave me now.
In the name of
Jesus. Lord, I have another confession to make.
I have not loved,
but have resented certain people.
I confess this is sin.
I call upon you, Lord,
to help me forgive them.
I do now forgive.
I
want you to forgive anyone who's ever hurt you that comes to mind. Just sit quietly and let the Holy Spirit bring to mind anyone who's ever hurt you that you need to forgive. And just forgive them. Anybody who's ever hurt you, living or dead, whatever disappointed you, let you down, stolen from you, mistreated you, thank you, Lord.
I do now.
Forgive myself. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe
that you died
on the cross
for my sins
and rose from the dead.
You redeem me
by your blood,
and I belong to you.
I want to live for you.
I confess all my
sins, both known and unknown.
I renounce them all.
Now I come to you as my deliverer.
Lord Jesus,
claiming the promise
that whosoever
shall call upon the name of the Lord,
shall be delivered.
As it is written
in
Joel
2:32.
Lord, you know my special needs.
The thing that binds,
torments,
and defiles
that evil spirit.
I call upon you, Lord Jesus,
to deliver me.
And set me free.
Satan,
I renounce you
and all your works.
I loose myself from you
in the name of Jesus
and command you to leave me now.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I want everybody to sit with their both feet on the floor. And I'm going to call out the names of some spirits. Spirits are air. And they generally come out the breathing passages. They come out with a yawn or with a cough, or they can come out of your ears with smoke, or sometimes they just come out at the top of your head. But most of the time they come out the breathing passages. And I want you just to sit carefully and relax, listen to what I call out, and agree with me. And let happens what happens. If something happens, let it happen. Don't hold it back. If you think you're going to lose your dignity, don't worry about it. You can get your dignity back. Let your demons go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you and bless you and glorify you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind all spirits of rejection now. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends, rejection by schoolmates. Rejection. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I say you leave these children of God in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 1:6 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. They're children of God. You demon of rejection, you come out of them now in the name of Jesus. All rejection in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people now. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. All rejection. All fear. 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 I bind you fear in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to leave God's people now. All fear. Fear has torment. Fear has torment. The perfect love of our Lord Jesus Christ drives out fear. Come out, fear, in the name of Jesus. Legion fear. Fear the dark. Fear of people. Fear of being wrong. Fear of being criticized. Fear of not making it. Fear of being poor, in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of being embarrassed. All fear. Fear of men. Fear of women. Fear of sex, in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. Leave. Leave God's people now, in the name of Jesus Christ. All leave, in the name of Jesus. Go. Go, fear, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear, go, go, in the name of Jesus. Go, in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear, go, in the name of Jesus. Go, fear, go. All spirits of inferiority, of not being good enough, in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of not being good enough, of not making it, of not being able to do it. Go, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of inferiority, go, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go now. All spirits of deep hurt. Deep hurt. Go. Go. In the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and I command you to leave. All spirits of bondage. Bondage to fear. Witchcraft fear in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. All witchcraft fear. All spirits of witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. Fear. Bondage to fear. Bondage. Bondage to drugs. Bondage to nicotine. Bondage to alcohol in the name of Jesus Christ. Bondage. 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 Bondage to sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Bondage to rebellion. Bondage to disobedience. All bondage I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. All sorcery. Go. 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 All sorcery. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft. All sorcery in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Go. I break the spirit of incest. Go now. Incest. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, incest. Go, 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 go. All illegitimacy. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, go. In the name of Jesus. All brokenness. Go, go. Broken spirits. Wounded spirits. Go. Spirits. Wounded spirits. Deep hurt. Deep hurt. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. All anger, rage, and hostility, go. All violent spirits, anger, rage, and hostility. All murder in the name of Jesus, go. All jealousy, spirit of jealousy, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Command you to leave. All spirits of jealousy, go. All spirits of suspicion, suspicion in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of paranoia and suspicion and jealousy and anger and rage, leave in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. All of you, leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go in the name of Jesus. All pride, 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 in the name of Jesus, all pride, all spirit of haughtiness and pride, go, 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 all pride, spirit of pride, leave in the name of Jesus Christ, go, spirit of pride, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, in the name of Jesus, haughty spirits, spirits of holiness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. All spirits of holiness, holiness and pride, turn them loose now. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. All pride, pride. Leave them. Leave them now. Go, all stubbornness, stubborn spirits, stubbornness, all idolatry and stubbornness, stubborn spirits, unteachable spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, all of you. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All unteachableness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of division, immolation and division, go. All spirits of divorce and argumentation and immolation and division, go. Go, go. All you divorce spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of division and divorce, go in the name of Jesus. Go. All spirits of witchcraft, go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of incest, go. All spirits of illegitimacy, go. All spirits of fornication, go. Go. All masturbation, go. Go. All oral genital sex, go. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ, go. All homosexual spirits, go. All spirits of perversion, perverse spirits, all perverse spirits in the name of Jesus, go. All you perverse spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All spirits of perverseness, perverse spirits, all sexual spirits, go. All spirits of the peeping Tom, go, go. All spirits of the peeping Tom, all spirits of the flasher, go. In the name of Jesus, all perverse spirits, all homosexual spirits, go. In the name of Jesus Christ, all lesbian spirits, all man-hating spirits, you man-hating spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Lesbian, I say, go in the name of Jesus. Lesbian, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave. Leave, lesbian, in the name of Jesus, go. All homosexual spirits, go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, all spirits of greed, greed, all spirits of covetousness and greed, go, go, all spirits of selfish ambition, go, all spirits of greed, in the name of Jesus, greed, I bind you in the name of Jesus, poverty, spendthrift, go, go.
Praise Him. Let's all stand up and praise Him now, folks. Oh, Lord, fill them now, Lord God. Fill them full, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill them full, Lord God. Fill them, Lord. Fill them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.